Dear listeners, Sairam. We now bring you part 2 of our program, Vahini Satsang. Today's episode was first aired on the 20th April 2017 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
So it reminds me in Vrindavan once, brother Swami was saying, I remember Swami speaking to us and Swami said, you know, sometimes, and it was very clear, I felt Swami was not just talking about the audience in front of him. I felt that it was meant for my own mother or, you know, people, you know, the ladies who slog out at home, who many times are not even able to participate in the Sai organization activities. Yes. So Swami was actually saying, see, sometimes when you have to clean a room, wipe a room clean, no, I don't do that. So clearly that message is not for me. Except, you know, to get those cleanliness prices which we have to have in the hostel. Otherwise, so he's saying when you clean the room, Shuddham chese samyam lo, Swami said when you clean, Swami said you should think that you're actually not cleaning the room, you're actually cleaning your heart. You're cleaning your heart. Similarly, Swami is saying that when you actually, when you spread chapati, this is Swami's own, Swami's example. He said,
exactly.
I'm actually, Swami said, my heart, no, nenu visaram ches. That is, I'm actually broadening my heart. So beautiful, no? So what Swami has beautifully done is, he spiritualizes the most mundane act. And that's, I think, what Swami has talked about here.
Yes.
Swami has come up with a paragraph which is very, very inclusive. I mean, today we talk of inclusive growth. Now this is inclusive spiritual growth. I mean, Swami has brought everybody in. Because anybody, irrespective of what sphere of life they are in or their background, has an opportunity actually to lead a spiritual life, is what Swami seems to say in 7.2. Yes.
That's why he kept that as our night prayer. After you finish everything, offer everything to me and then.
Yes.
Just to add to this, I remember when it was 2008 or 9, Jan 1st, we have an alumni meet. All of us meet here and Swami, in his mercy, he gave us a Poonchandra session. All ex-students will gather in Poonchandra auditorium and Swami will just give a small session. He'll interact, he'll give a discourse.
Yes.
So in that particular year, I think 2009, Jan 1st it was. So Swami told, okay, any questions you ask me. So students are excited. I mean, I can directly ask Swami any question I want. So I remember the same thing what he was telling me. One boy got up and asked the same question. He told Swami, I'm staying in US. I do my work 15 hours a day. I am not at all getting any time to do anything called a service. What should I do? I don't have anything. How can I be close to you? How can I do spiritual sadhana or work? Same thing. Swami told very, very clearly. He just heard him and told, what is there? Whatever you do, offer it to me.
Yes.
Whatever you think that you're doing it for me. That's enough.
Yes.
But there's a big catch in that. Because basically you're saying, do all work as Swami's work.
Yes.
Now, to do something in Swami's work is extremely difficult. Now, imagine you have to do office work as Swami's work, which means you will actually, for example, if I'm preparing a document, I'll have to actually imagine that the end user of this document is Swami.
Yes.
And if the end user of this document is Swami, what is the perfection with which I would actually have to do it?
Yes.
And you know, with what feeling? In fact, I think very beautifully you're slowly leading us on to the second, third part where Swami talks about, okay, you do work like this, you should not, you know, have any trace of desire for the fruit, because that's when it becomes Swami's work.
Yeah.
So there are very strict criteria for something to qualify as Swami's work.
It's a little difficult. It's like when you're really working at a mundane level, not having a fruit, people say, what is this? I have a growth target, I have some targets to meet, okay, I have to do it this way. How can you? It's a very natural question for anyone.
So one thing which, I mean, I don't say it works 100% of the time, but sometimes when I get into the sphere, and I don't claim I do it 100% perfect. One thing I've tried, and I think which is reasonably effective, is whenever, you know, you get disillusioned, you know, you're very upset about a task you have to do, I try to imagine that my managing director of this company is actually Swami.
Yes.
So what happens is, whatever you're doing, whether it's your sales targets or whatever you have to do in terms of your deliverables, suddenly becomes something which is going to be offered to him. So you would actually close your eyes, visualize that at the end of the day, you know, this file is going to be Swami, and then I would imagine Swami is going to open the email and check the document. So then it becomes, you know, at least it helps you to make an attempt, I think, to work towards what Swami envisages in Prema Vahini.
Yeah, coming back to the third point, do it without a desire. I remember one experience. It's like, it's totally different from what we generally think. In 2006 or 7, what happened is, some of the ex-students, they came up with an idea that Puttaparthi is very barren and there is no vegetation around. So we'll ask Swami, we'll request him and start putting some saplings and make it a little more green. So we went to Swami and he told, okay, you start this work. So what we did is behind the shopping complex, around it, everything, we started putting the saplings and we started watering them and all that. Swami is very happy with us. And this went on for around 2-3 years. So this is what is the beauty of Swami. We all knew that we are doing the service. We are doing it for him. And every 2-3 months we'll go and report to Swami, we have done this. Swami, ah, very good, very happy. But we all don't know, but he knows one thing. There used to be a bullock. We all had a bullock called Saishwar. A very, very sattvic bullock. And a beautiful. No tantrums. It will not throw tantrums. You tell morning 6 o'clock means he'll come. He'll take a take one cartman will come with a nice tanker. He'll go around the whole area, right from here till the airport, around near the hospital, wherever you see the saplings, the flowering plants on the dividers, and behind, everywhere. He'll just go very, very meticulously, morning 6 o'clock to evening, he'll silently. Like, I saw it and felt, this is what is a silent worker.
This is like a Nandishwar of Trey.
Wow.
In Trey, there used to be a Nandishwar or something. I think we had something similar to that.
This is not. I'll tell you what happened then. So once what happened is somewhere in the month of June, July or something. Behind, you know, there's something called the Culvert Gate.
Yes.
We have the back the West Gate. We call it. So behind that, we also happened to go, and this was this bull Saishwar, and the cartman was there, and he was just going, and they were watering some plants on either side of the road. So suddenly there was a downpour, a heavy downpour. So what happened, all of us, a very natural reaction. We just, 3-4 of our old students were there, and we just ran for cover. We found a small shed. We ran and stood inside the shed. Even the cartman, the one who takes care of the bullock, he also came. He stood with us in the shed. It was little, might be 50 meters away or something. And Saishwar was all alone. It was not feeling uneasy. Generally, a cow or a bullock, they feel little uneasy when there's a rain or something. Not like a buffalo. So it was very silently standing there. And this is what is the time when Lord decides to shower something on his devotee. So what happens, at that particular point of time when it's raining and we are all not there, all the unwanted people are gone off, Swami's car comes. From behind. He is going for a round. He has gone for a round.
Wow.
And he comes back from behind.
Culvert Gate.
To enter the Culvert Gate. He sees Saishwar there. Saishwar is our bullock.
Yes.
So what happens? We are seeing from the far, oh my God, Swami's car. We can't run. It's too far. We will not reach him. So then we are seeing from a distance, we are seeing that Swami's car has stopped near this bullock. And then we see something happening. We try to see from behind what happens. So Swami lowers his the window, and then we heard it later from the person who was next to Swami what actually happened. He tells, take me near the bullock. He told the car to stop there, lowered the window, took out 3-4 toffees, and by this time the cartman runs and comes to him. Listen, give it to Saish, give it to this bullock, a good boy.
Oh, lovely.
And then goes home. So when by the time we came, anyway, no rain, we came running. By the time we rain, already the beautiful episode was over. Swami already, okay, all of you come, no problem. He silently went off. So we were excited what happened. So this person told Swami, see, he gave this minute office for Saishwar, for the bullock, and told he's a good boy.
And he was part of the project for the garden. Yeah, and
He's the main guy.
And we thought we were the. So which means actually, if you go back to this, Swami says the yajna is not, you know, not just the offering of the flower.
Yes.
But you know, even the background work done.
Yes.
So, and that's where I think Saishwar had done a major role.
He tells us that you do it without a trace of a desire.
Yes.
So I don't think Saishwar had any desire to do. You tell, you get up at 6 o'clock, he'll get up. Till 8 o'clock you do in the night, it'll do.
Yeah.
No. What I'm going to gain out of it? What should I get out of it? Nothing. I only think, oh, I did so much of service. What I'll gain out of it? Swami will look at me. Swami will give me something. So I had nothing like that. I think that is the, I felt is ideal karma yogi in all of us who did.
And one takeaway for us is, especially when there's a project like this in Swami's organization or any work, not all of us may get the opportunity to play a front end role. So one very comforting thing, if I look at in terms of takeaways, I need not always aspire for a front end role, because Swami has officially recognized that even the ancillary activities, which are, you know, which actually support the main activity, would also be considered as, you know, as seva or as a good act.
As long as it is focused.
Focused on the objective. Absolutely.
On the objective.
Exactly.
Hands in the society, head in the forest.
Exactly, exactly. And it's done purely as an act to please the Lord, and purely done as seva in the spirit Swami intends it, you know, to please the Lord. So that way, even the ancillary activities will actually become spiritual in nature. As long as done as an act which will help you further your own evolution to bridge the gap between what you think you are and what you really are, which is Swami. So that gap. I think, brother, I mean, at some point of time during our informal discussion, you were talking about, you know, the Atirudra Yajna and, you know, some wonderful stuff which people had done, you know, which were ancillary.
Yes, I think that perhaps comes in the next paragraph, where Bhagavan says, you know, any action done with spiritual intent is a sacrifice. And Swami says, the fulfillment of benefit at three levels accrues as a fruit of the sacrifice. The power of the sacrifice and the immense multidimensional benefits of a sacrifice, of a yajna. So perhaps let's listen to that.
Yeah, yeah, the audience must be wondering what we're talking about. We've gone to the next paragraph.
Yes.
Sadhana rupamaina karma kuda yajname. Ee yajnamulu yandu moodu samsthala karma phalitalu siddhinchutunnavi. Aa seva karyamulalo మనం ఫలాపేక్షను ఏమాత్రమూ రానియరాదు. ఏలయన ఫలమును మానవులు మొదటే పొంది ఉన్నారు. కాన ఆ రుణము మానవుని తలపై ఉన్నది. ఆ రుణమును తీర్చుకునిటే వాని కర్తవ్యం. యజ్ఞము వలన సృష్టియందు సమత్వము ప్రాప్తించును. దానము వలన సమాజమునందు సమత్వము ఏర్పడును. తపస్సు వలన శరీరంలో సమత్వము సిద్ధించును. ఈ విధంగా మూడు సంస్థల యందును సమత్వమును నెలకొల్పుటకు ఈ కార్యక్రమములు తోడ్పడును.
ఎనీ యాక్షన్ డన్ విత్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఇంటెంట్ ఈజ్ అ యజ్ఞ ఆర్ సాక్రిఫైస్. ద ఫుల్ఫిల్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ బెనిఫిట్ అట్ త్రీ లెవెల్స్ అక్రూస్ యాజ్ అ ఫ్రూట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ సాక్రిఫైస్. వెన్ డూయింగ్ సచ్ సర్వీస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ వన్ షుడ్ నెవర్ అలౌ ఈవెన్ అ ట్రేస్ ఆఫ్ డిజైర్ ఫర్ ద ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ ద యాక్షన్ బికాస్ మ్యాన్ హ్యాస్ ఆల్రెడీ బీన్ బ్లెస్డ్ విత్ దీస్ ఫ్రూట్స్. సో దిస్ డెట్ already exists for man, it is his duty to clear this indebtedness. Equality in creation can be achieved through yajna. Through charity, there can be equality in society. Through tapas or penance, there can be equality in one's body. Thus, to establish equality at all the three levels, these activities would be quite helpful.
Oh, in fact, as I was thinking about what Bhargav shared, you know, if you look at yajna, in the literal sense, the yajna that happens here during the Dasara, for example, or yajna that happens during the Atirudra Mahayajnam, Swami used to mention how the yajna has so many benefits, and we have literally seen how it would rain during the Dasara Yajnam, isn't it? Almost every evening.
Generally.
Every evening there would be a mild, beautiful shower.
Yeah. And Purnahuti will be a downpour.
And you know, I was just, and as you do everything as a yajna, you can actually see the reactions which are not only instant, but you can also connect them so beautifully to the harmony in nature. Because you know, this morning I was listening to talk by Mr. Romel, who is a very senior devotee of Bhagwan. He spoke in Vrindavan during the Samarpan session, and he was referring to this tree plantation effort done by the old students, and he said that when they approach the local bodies and asking for their support in this activity of afforestation of the places in and around Puttaparthi, they said, "Sir, please let us not interfere. The old boy Swami's students are doing such fantastic work.
Okay.
It is better we don't step into that." And he said, "For your kind information, the temperature in Puttaparthi, since this effort has started, has come down by 2 degrees.
Oh, beautiful.
He said, it's a real proof, concrete example of the tremendous work that is done by the old students. And so to me, see, that is the yagna. See, because why it has happened? Because we did it as a yagna. Anything will have the welfare of mankind, will bring us in harmony with nature, because all yagnas are actually for the welfare of mankind, isn't it? Any yagna in its true spirit is always for the welfare of mankind. Then you will see the real impact of the real fruit of the yagna happens only when you do the work as a yagna. Because the afforestation was done in a spirit of yagna, you could see this impact of a cleaner and greener Puttaparthi.
And the criteria for it to qualify as a yajna seems to be that it is done selflessly.
Yes.
The sense where you don't expect any result, either direct or incidental.
Yes.
In fact, there was one of those senior devotees, a long time devotee of Bhagwan, who's moved with him very closely. He was mentioning this. I had the opportunity to, travel with him from Chennai. He was actually mentioning in passing, and I can see very beautifully Swami seems to have given us the information required for this session, where he actually said there's a difference between yaga and yajna. Yaga is anything which is done with an intent for a result for myself. So like the Putra Kameshti Yaga, which is performed, when you want progeny, you do. That's a yaga.
So but it then, was done by Dasharatha.
Yes, which is said to have been done by Dasharatha. But then you don't say Atirudra Maha Yaga, you call it Yajna.
Yes.
Or Swami's Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna. Yes. Those are all things which are done, and it need not literally be, sacrificial offering in a fire. It could even be an act like, planting trees.
Yes.
So all this can actually be Yajna. Yes. And then it has a result which is instant, and also, I think it correlates beautifully with the natural balance of nature.
Yes, yes. And here, Bhagwan is saying that through charity, there can be equality in society. And actually, I was just reminded of, again, Atirudra Mahayagnam.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagwan had it after many years in Prashantanilayam in 2006, and then, it was followed up in 2007 in Chennai. And one of the boys who was distributing prasadam during one of the days when this Atirudra was going on for 11 days, so he saw that someone was tugging his shirt. And when he turned, it was a 60-year-old man. And he asked, what is it that he wanted? Because he had already given him prasadam. He said, no, I want the carton box. The carton box is almost empty. He said, no, please give me the carton box. And this boy was like, what do you want a carton box? I mean, if you want one more prasadam, I'll give you. But this, and he sort of didn't pay too much attention. Why is the old man asking for a carton box? And so he went and, but that man was insistent, please, please give me that carton box. So finally he just gave the carton box and, he picked up one more carton and he started distributing. And after half an hour, as he finished the distribution, then he saw that as he was placing this used carton boxes in the room, on the road there, East Prashanti Road, this 60-year-old man was holding this carton box and going up and down that road. He was picking up the wrappers on the road and collecting them. So he went to him and said, sir, why are you doing this? If you want one more prasadam, I will give you, but why are you picking up wrappers? You're so senior. He said, Swami is conducting such a beautiful yajnam, and yajnam is all about sacrifice. You boys are doing so much service. I was not able to do anything. I thought, if at all I can do anything here, that would be my contribution to the sacrifice. And so this beautiful is my way of being part of this sacrifice. Another day, when the boys were picking up their slippers after the yajnam, after the evening program, so one boy noticed that in one corner of that slipper stand was this person with a red turban and with his face to the wall, so you could only see his back and he could see the back of his red turban. And many didn't notice. After the mandir session, everybody just picks up their slippers and goes to the hostel. Or one boy got curious, why is this person sitting there? And he was very quietly sitting there and he seemed to be doing something. And So when this person, boy, went near, then he saw that this person perhaps was a Sikh. He had the turban and he had taken a new napkin and he was cleaning the chappals, cleaning the slippers one by one, whatever was there in the soup stand, and quietly picking them back and, you know, doing his job, keeping them back. And he said, "Sir, why are you doing this? People will just pick up their slippers and go. There is no need." He said, "See, yesterday in the discourse, Swami said that all the boys are like gold. They are all bangaru. They are all golden. And I wanted to do some service which is golden. And I thought the only way, I am not that fortunate to be picked up by Bhagwan to serve like the students are serving. I thought if I can serve those whom Swami considers as gold, then maybe I would have in my own way contributed to this sacrifice." And so he was picking up every slipper as if it was gold and cleaning them. And he said, "This is what, anyway, how does it matter? This is what we used to do. We do in, even in Gurudwara." So I was just reminded when Swami is saying sacrifice, you know, just like when Bhagwan used to say, you should never speak in low words about the yagnam. Because, you know, modern youth often, and the so-called secularists often deride these practices, saying you're wasting ghee, you're wasting precious material, you're just dropping them into the fire, what benefit does it accrue? You know, you could have as well spent that money doing something else. And we have heard Bhagwan explain that, clarify that, saying that, you know, it's as good as saying that when a farmer throws seeds on the field, the farmer is just wasting the seeds, you know. And of course, Swami used to say also that, you know, all these people who say that why so much ghee has been wasted for meaningless purpose. Swami used to say all these people from their childhood, they have drunk pots and pots of ghee. What use has their life done to mankind? Is there anything meaningful that you have done by consuming so much of ghee, and now you see little ghee being used for the yagnam in comparison to how much you have drunk since your childhood, and you have a problem with it because you don't understand the dimensions of it, because we don't understand the harmony, we don't understand the symphony of nature. And to me, you know, it might seem very disjointed. An yagyam is happening there and this old man wants to clean slippers, this another old man wants to serve, but that is how it is. We never know the multidimensional effect. So when Swami says yagnam will confer equality, just believe it. You don't know how it will happen.
He's done all the thinking. So
he's done all the
thinking. Break ahead. But, and again, if you go back, these are all ancillary activities which he recognizes as an integral part of yagna. So irrespective of what your competencies are, irrespective of what your skills are, you can always be a part of yagna. Or be a part of the spiritual act.
And, okay, here we had literally the yagna, but any activity is an yagna. That's what Swami said.
Consuming, if done in food, the spirit.
Yeah, if done in that spirit of sacrifice.
I'm tempted to just remember one incident. Just decide whether it... I feel that's also yagna. A cricket match is going on.
Yes.
You know Rahul Dravid, one of our test cricketers who is called the wall.
Yes.
Whenever he's placed, he never... And the innings never collapses.
Yes.
So he was in the commentary box. He told a very profound thing. The co-commentator asked him, one particular test where everything was in crisis, like India was reeling some seven down or something, and he was on the other end. So he asked him, how are you able to withstand that pressure, everything, and how you are able to come out? And it seems that particular test they won. India won the test. So this co-commentator asked him, what is it that makes you that so special? How you play? So what Rahul Dravid told was really profound. It was like I was thinking, oh, this is something very special. He told, when I go to play in the crease, when I go there, I just shut myself totally off to everything. How much you have to achieve, how much is the target, what is the expectations of everyone, and what I am supposed to do. He narrated that I just shut myself off of everything. I only play. I just see the ball which is coming and I play the ball with the merit of it. So when I heard that, I felt that he is actually living in the moment.
Yes.
He is just doing exactly that moment what you are supposed to do.
Yes.
Leaving aside everything else what is there. So where Swami tells that leave the desire, the desire of the fruit of the action. Yes. So in this case, I think he is not thinking whether India will win or not win. Yes. Oh my God, if I don't perform, whether I lose. I think he doesn't, when he goes there, he just switches himself off from all this unnecessary chatter. He just plays for the sake of playing. Yeah. I don't know.
Possibly he was not even thinking of whether he'll become the man of the match because of this. Yes. Possibly he was not thinking of his ICC ranking.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Just when I don't know, I was just tempted to just
absolutely
remember. Might be this is
absolutely
not a sacrifice.
That is, I think that is when you, just like Dharmaraja, you know, when he was asked, why are you following Dharma? You know, when Draupadi asks, what have we gained? Because there have been so many times when they were going through so much of tribulations that, you know, to everyone else it seemed like following the path of Dharma was only following a path of thorns. And Draupadi asks, what have we achieved? But Yudhishthira says, but I am following Dharma because I am following Dharma. Because I can only follow Dharma. There is no other way.
It's my nature to do so.
It's my nature to do so. You know, I think it's the same when we love God also. If we love God because, for any other reason other than because I love God, then you know.
Maybe you pollute that love if yes you don't. If you just yeah love Him for the sake of loving.
Loving. Exactly.
If you play for the sake of playing, might yes be that's what.
In fact,
as
you were
sacrifice
mentioning about Rahul Dravid, I was reminded of Guru Karaikudi Mani, the great exponent of Mridangam, someone who considers that Mridangam as the divine blessing, the divine God. I mean, it is that God that Swami had given him, and you know, he's because Nandi used to play the Mridangam, and for him it is a divine instrument. And so he said, when I come onto the stage, I never look at how many people are there, who, what is it that I need to achieve in this performance. Nothing. When I come onto the stage, I only think of Swami. I only think of the Divine. And I think how I can offer this next moment to Him.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I know. And Swami brings in a very important caveat here. He says that for all this to qualify as Yajna, you will have to do all this without the slightest trace of the result.
Exactly.
In fact, Swami makes a very interesting point or interesting comment. He says that the fruits have already been given to you.
Yeah, that's
make
something.
The point. It felt like a prepaid account, you know, where he's basically saying it's already done.
It's already done.
You've been prepaid. The salary has actually been paid in advance. So please, to me it sounded as though the very opportunity to do a seva is actually a blessing.
Blessing, yes.
So it's not that you're earning merit through seva. You are fortunate and hence you are able to do seva. And by seva, you're actually discharging the debt. And Swami talks about the different rinas.
Correct.
You know, the debts that mankind has to fulfill. So maybe Swami is referring to that.
Just like, you know, we never stop to count our blessings. So ultimately, if you are doing anything, you should never even ask anything, because you know the amount of work that you have to do just to convey gratitude
to Him.
Exactly.
A beautiful example is Gram Seva. I don't know when Swami started Gram Seva, might be after some time, He gave a very, very clear instruction that it is you who are getting the benefit, not the villagers. And He, I don't know whether you remember, He told whenever you give, you have to say Om Sri Satchidanandaya Namaha and then offer it to the person.
Wow.
So I remember in 2003, 4, 5, 6 initial years, and then after that also, we either say Om Sri Sairam, but Swami has very, very explicitly given this instruction that when you offer the prasadam, the clothes and the laddu, the whole thing, you should say Om Sri Satchidanandaya Namaha and then offer. That means I am offering it to the Divine, Satchidananda.
And maybe as a result of which, the punya which would accrue from this would not go to you, but would go to that central account.
Yes.
Because, you know, even punya, as they say, is a cage, is a golden cage.
Correct.
So what will actually happen is, to enjoy that punya, you will be reborn again. And you don't want to be reborn without the Lord around. So, that way, you know, the debt is, you don't want, you know, the results to actually come to you. So which means one takeaway, or one thing I'll try and take away from this portion of the reading is, since we are focusing on takeaways and specific actionables, is that
you know, it's very easy. Even in the organization, Swami's organization, when you do work, it's very easy to, you know, participate in a seva. And somewhere in the back of your mind, without you realizing, you think, you know, because of this, no, I might actually become the youth coordinator. Or because of this, I might be made the convener. I might be promoted as this.
Yeah.
It's very easy to even, you know, get that whiff of a thought.
Yes.
And I think that's what I think we should, I mean, personally, I would like to guard against.
Yes.
Or you give, you manage to give a, you know, good speech on Swami, the talk on Swami. You know, somewhere in the back of your mind, you're hoping that, you know, people will like it and then will admire you.
Yes.
Or you post something on Facebook and then go and quickly check the number of likes which have come. So, you know, it's very natural in a lower sense to do that.
Yes.
So I think that personally, that's one thing one takeaway. I'll try and guard against that.
But is it not difficult being in this thing? Because now everything is social media. How many likes? Or what is
Yeah, but anything but worth it is difficult. So
anything worth it is difficult. But I think this is a very, very important thing to ruminate on. I know we are running out of time, but I think it is for all of us, dear brothers and sisters, also to ruminate on what Bhagavan is telling here. You know, if you're doing any activity, you know, you're only discharging your debt. So let us not think that, you know, we are doing this to earn merit. Let us not think that, you know, as brother said, you know, it can be something of that nature. Or, you know, many times when you initially become devotees, you start doing stuff because you want something to happen with your son. You want, you know, okay, Swami, for the next 1 month, I will go to Mandir. At least my son should get, you know, chance to study in your school. All that happens, you know.
Yeah.
So,
He's telling yours, mine is action, yours is reaction. That's all. Yeah. I've already done the action.
So anytime, if you are doing anything, it should be only done with the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah. Mandir Ganesha himself has got hundreds of undischarged contracts like that.
So I think that attitude of gratitude is what is
very beautiful.
Should be the mantra.
Attitude of
life.
Gratitude. Very nicely said.
I think that should be the mantra of life. If you are doing anything at any point in time, it is only with an attitude of gratitude. Then you're not expecting anything.
That's a very nice catchword. Attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, I think that is something. And of course, the yajna, Swami says, it can bring equality in society. And let us not, you know, as he said, he has already done all the thinking. So just go by it. Yeah. Yajna, if he says it brings equality in society, it will bring equality. You just have to believe that. Only your, perhaps if you're tuned to it, you will realize it with time, you know. Then Swami says, and it will bring equality in one's body. That's a whole new concept. What is equality in one's body? But Swami says, yajna will bring equality in one's body. I mean, what comes to my mind from a medicine perspective is the balance of vata, pitta, kapha. You know, vata, pitta, kapha. That is what, because ultimately, if there is balance of vata, pitta, kapha in your body, then there will be balance of satya, raja, tama in your body. And if balance of satya, raja, tama is there, then you are at a stage where you become a yogi.
True.
And a yogi can easily attain yoga with God, union with God. So, well, I think if only we can focus to do every act as an act of sacrifice, as an act of an undertaking only for Him, only for His pleasure, only for His sake. And I think that would be an adventure worth pursuing. As they say, an idea worth sharing for TED Talks. It is an adventure worth pursuing all our life.
Calling it adventure is beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's an adventure.
It's an adventure.
You're trying something which is unknown to you.
Yeah, it's unknown. It's an adventure. It's an exciting adventure and which can only fill you with bliss,
nothing else.
Yeah, and we can literally, I guess, create heaven. And like Brother Bishu likes to put on his mail signature, heaven is not a destination, it is a decision.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brothers. I know you would only want to continue this discussion. There are so many beautiful thoughts. I pray to Bhagwan that we can meet again as and when He gives us this opportunity for you to come to Prashantalayam. Brother Balram Chandran, Brother Bhargav is here, but so many things have to fall in place for a recording to happen, for a session to happen, and He has to make it happen. So really, thanking Bhagwan, offering our deep sense of gratitude for making this session happen, and to all of you, dear listeners, for giving us this beautiful chance to share His love and His message. Please do write to us about your adventure, about your journey, about the little efforts that you have made to convert your life into a saga of sacrifice. Let's share. Let's hold each other's hands and grow to Him. Let's become one with Him together. Thank you so much, Sarah.
You just heard part 2 of our program, Vahini Satsang. This episode was first aired on the 20th April 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.